listening to The Midday Grind with Martin Kilcoyne and Charlie Marlowe on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
At the end of the show, we do our takeaways, but really it's what did we learn today. So we should have warned Eric Messersmith sitting in with us this week that you scribble a note here or there, or as Charlie does it at the last second when we come back from the final break. But we already learned, because Eric was honest about it, that he has a number block, so we could really mess with him and just say, like, hey, 52's pitching today.
Oh, yeah, don't do
hey,
that.
Hey, 40 just went deep.
Cam will sometimes just throw out hockey numbers.
That's a hockey thing.
On like, the show.
All and, hockey people do that.
And I will say, like, Tarasenko, 91, and Petrangelo, 27.
Brett Those Hull? Are the, Brett Hull? That's, you weren't from here.
I don't know any numbers of current. Like, Gunner, is Bortuzzo 3 or 6? He's either 3
Bortuzzo
or 6.
Bortuzzo would be 41.
Yes.
Is he?
Yeah,
he's
Gunnarsson.
Gunnarsson
is 4.
Is 4. Okay, I knew one of the third. The third pair of defensemen were low numbers. My point is I don't know any numbers, so don't embarrass
and me. And I think Bortuzzo took that number to honor Hazelbaker, if that's I'm not mistaken.
That is what happened.
as part of Team STL.
I think it makes the game way more fun, though, that Eric can't play. And he, like, yeah. He throws
oh,
out.
I don't know. I'll just throw out weird names.
Yadier like, Molina, 8, I think, is the best thing I've ever
Yadier
heard.
Yadier Molina, like, 92? Is he double zero?
The movie Royal Tannenbaums. And Gardner will remember this because we have a lot of Wes Anderson references on this show. But Bill Murray's character, he's studying a young kid who's sort of a prodigy, like really like a genius kid. The kid's name is Dudley. And then they just go to Bill Murray in these little scenes, and he's like writing notes like a professor, studying the kid. And the kid will just have random connections, I believe, and he'll say, brilliant. Wow, how odd. And that's kind of where I am. That's kind of where I am.
How odd one.
Yes.
How odd.
And I like it, though. So tomorrow, guys, we'll do a lot more numbers.
No.
Maybe the strangest story of the day, though, is not the U.S. losing America's Cup, which, by the way, Dave Murray just texted to make sure I knew, and I said, Dave, don't worry. We're on it. We're on it. But the strangest story of the day is out of Columbia, Missouri, and I'll let Brendan Schaefer let Dave Matter tell the story via Twitter.
Yeah, because Dave's tweets, I think, set the scene pretty well. As it applies to just this incident and Dave Matter's job in general and the way it's gone over the last few years. Here, I'll read these first three tweets in succession. Still gathering info, but 23-year-old man arrested Sunday for driving his Volkswagen Passat into Mizzou Arena at 4 a.m. crashed through gate. Tweet 2, man got his car onto Mizzou Arena court, then drove out through press gate, damage estimates at $100,000. And tweet number 3, in other words, I'm back from vacation.
Wait a okay, minute, he okay. got on the court?
So hold on, officially, Norm Stewart court, okay? Yes. To be fair.
Yes.
And you said he went through the media gate. Did he have proper credentials? Is Marshall Frazier allowing us to talk about
here,
this story?
Yeah, he blew right through the chain link fence gate and destroyed it pretty good.
And he's an employee of the university.
And that was the fun part, too. I didn't know that. It says Mizzou Arena gate crasher Nathaniel Conant graduated from Mizzou in December with an English degree and had been a temp in athletics since March. Now, Dave, doing his due diligence, followed up and found out that as of today, he's no longer employed by Mizzou, according to a university spokesperson. Mizzou cannot disclose why, but I think we all know, Dave.
Okay.
Has he had his day in court? Oh. I mean, aren't you innocent until proven guilty?
That's unfair.
They just fire you on the spot?
You know how weird Mizzou is? There's always a story that you're like, oh, my God, Mizzou, we don't want to. Like, I was joking about Marcel Frazier, who was upset with some of the coverage a week ago. Jeremiah Tillman, are we allowed to talk about this? There's always something weird at Mizzou.
Boone County seems like it's Florida.
If you had said today, name something crazy that'll happen, and it'll be loosely associated with Mizzou athletics. Somebody driving a car inside the arena on the court wouldn't have been in your top 1,000 picks.
No.
You know, in the history of college athletics, when is the last time you heard, yeah, remember that one time in Oklahoma that kid drove a car on the court? No. Never. Ever.
It's kind of rather impressive.
How does that happen?
We keep topping ourselves. We keep finding ways to one up the last stupid thing that occurred in Columbia, Missouri.
I would really want to sit down with this kid and talk to him.
Oh, yeah. No, I think he's – tell Huffman, tell Seymour we're on it, okay? We want this kid.
I mean, what gets you to that point? You figure there's some things
Schlitz
involved.
And
but,
Budweiser. And,
but, yeah. Like, how does the idea hatch? And how do you act on that motivation?
It would make more sense if it was a disgruntled media member who maybe felt like their credential was pulled or right. They had a beef with Mizzou for some reason.
I had a friend say on Twitter, when I was on campus visiting in 2011, I went to Mizzou Arena and asked some security dude if I could go on the court. I'm just saying there are easier ways than crashing your Passat through a garage door.
I want to know more, because I do want to know, was he upset with his time in the athletic department, or did he just get a little loaded and thought, this is a really good idea? I've always wanted to drive my... Have you ever watched the Final Four and said, you know, if only I could drive my car there? Never occurred to me.
Like he drove his car in, put it underneath one of the hoops, and then tried to pull a Blake Griffin and hop over it and dunk.
Yeah. There's got to be a lot more. Now, I will, in defense of the Columbia media, I don't know how they covered Tillman. And did they overcover? Did they overhype it? I don't know what took place last Monday. I'm sorry. This is the lead story. You know, this is if you cover Mizzou athletics or if you cover news and crime in Columbia, Missouri, what story is bigger than this? And we're laughing about it, but I mean, $100,000 a year.
Yeah,
no,
it's serious. I do want to hear Marcel Frazier's reaction, though, to the local news. You guys are always just all over us. The media just loves this.
Oh, you guys see a car, drive on a basketball court, and you decide to make a big deal out of it.
That's a tweet.
I'm like, well, to be honest, Marcel, this is the first one of these we've ever had.
What a get, though, to have the interview with this guy. Let's try to get him on the show this week.
And I feel like this is going to hurt the whole bullpen car conversation, Gardner, not to go back, but now having cars in the playing field is going to become more of an issue, a safety concern.
Mm. Oh, you want to see a car?
Oh, this is
screws
his thing.
This up
really?
For me.
I didn't know this was your thing.
More of the golf car thing with the little helmet on top.
That does make some sense, because I'm all for speeding up the pace of play.
I wonder if he has a lawyer yet. I wonder if I can get to him now.
Get to him? I just feel like the slippery slope, this is going to hurt in your mission to get the bullpen car to return.
Yeah, and tomorrow we'll have a note on bullpen cars as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
a
little nugget.
Boy, people are not going to get out of their car for 24 hours. Hold on, he's got a bullpen car update.
Oh, 314, most famous drive to the basket since Ty Acedney. Ha ha.
Oh, no.
That's well like played.
That
feels good.
Huh. Tyus Edney. Hold on. I got myself in trouble because I was going to say his number.
Oh, don't say it.
But
do you
know
his number?
No, I thought it was 21, but that's...
I was going
to
guess
4. I'm going to have to go and start studying numbers now.
But you'll
really
never know
attention.
The random ones we're going to bring
no,
up.
That's no, not chance. I have no chance.
Former Cardinals that wore the 17, other than Hernandez.
Schaefer, how did the mugshot look?
No, he didn't wear
it. I mean, he looked a little glazed, I would say. Okay. I haven't read any of the stories about it yet, but... I would imagine that would be something that could be revealed in time.
So if you worked at Fox 2 or News Channel 5, would you put this story in the sports segment?
Oh,
or
no.
Or is this in the news
segment? It's an A-block, to use TV lingo.
Right?
This is A-block.
Don't you think? Because it's so random.
Might be your lead.
You know, it's so weird. And just when Mizzou basketball is getting everything put back together, you know, thank God it wasn't one of the kids on the team, you know, whoever this kid is. Next time, son, do what everybody else does. Just run on the field at a baseball game. My God.
Wonder what his blood alcohol level was. I'm going to say 0.25 range.
I was going to see how Eric did with numbers on that.
Yeah, 51.
He's like, yeah, I wonder what his blood alcohol was. 94? No. Midday Grind, we're going to talk it over with Ryan Reeves in just a little bit. Fireworks on your brain probably because next week is the 4th, next Tuesday, in fact, and you need to check out Captain Jim's. 4 semi-trailers of product arrive, which means they have great selection, great pricing. Finding the unique firework that fits any budget, you can do it at Captain Jim's. That's where the St. Louis area has been going for years, family-owned store. Huge deals, new product, 70 items that were hand-selected and drastically discounted by Captain Jim himself. Make sure you follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, like their Facebook page, because right now, going on through the 4th, daily contest where they're going to give away a minimum of $75 of free fireworks every day on Facebook, plus fun videos, pictures, even the firework fails. Captain Jim's Fireworks. Check them out and like their Facebook page. So my six-year-old son wrapped up his baseball season yesterday, and the coach did a really nice thing because at the end of every game, somebody brings a snack. So the coach decided for the last game of the year, he'd have the ice cream man show up in the van, and then the kids could all get a snack out of there. The problem is the ice cream man showed up during the game. So now each bench with six-year-old kids is losing their mind. Instead of focusing on proper technique and taking the field and getting it at bat, it's like, there's ice cream. The ice cream trucks are the ice. It's like the Eddie Murphy skit. The ice cream man. And the coach went over and talked to the ice cream man. I thought he was going to ask him to leave for a while and come back at the end of the game. And, of course, the van has got dents in it. It's all beat up and looks just, there is not an ice cream van that just rolled off the lot at Johnny Londoff, is there? I mean, they are all beat up and just a little bit creepy. But the kids are losing their mind. The other team has a birthday kid. So a mom comes out with a giant cookie cake at the end of the game.
Oh.
The kids take off running for the van. And she turns around. She almost looked like in disgust. Yeah. And took the cookie cake back to the car. You cannot compete with the ice cream man in the middle of the summer.
To be fair, if there was an ice cream truck out here right now, I'd be distracted.
You'd run out there?
And I'm older than six, but I probably would run out there, or at least I'd be looking that way a lot.
And I don't know where they learn it, because in the last couple of years, so my kid's only six, I don't know how often we've seen him, but when he hears the music, he goes, Dad, where is it?
Yeah.
It's this weird trance they get into.
There's one that comes around here. I've seen it in the parking lot. I hear the bell every once in a while.
Is that because people in sports radio are kind of like children?
Yes.
And so when we hear the ice cream man, you're in the middle of a hot take, and you say, I'll be right back. The ice cream man's here. And then when the game ended, it was the end of the season. I don't know what Carson's OPS was, guys. I'm sorry, I don't.
Ah.
Or his FIP. John Doohan would have been really bad, I think. But at the end of the game, end of the season, it's the cliche, every kid got a trophy.
Oh.
You know what? But I think at 6 years old, that's the way you do it. There's a cutoff at some point.
What did the trophy say?
It had his name and his team on it, and that's all. But he took that trophy. Now, there were some games I had to drag him there because he's like, oh, another game. Dad, it's too hot. I don't want to go to the game. And I would always bribe him like a good dad. Say, well, we'll get Gatorade. We'll get gum. But he gets out of the car with that trophy. He got home, and he's running around the house. He's wanting to show people. He was going to his grandma's today, and he said, Dad, where's my trophy? So at that point, I'm okay with it. Even though we're the snowflake generation, right, everybody gets a trophy. Now, we don't hand them out to the Cardinals. You know, Matheny's like, well, we're going to give a trophy today to Waka. He went three innings. No. I think at that point, it's okay. What year do you cut it off? You think if you're like Gardner's a coach, bench coach, when they're like 10, 11,
I say
12.
12. I think 12 is the cutoff
for
trophies.
Gardner's going to go much earlier.
No, it's not 12. It's before that.
Rammer's like, when they're two.
I would say I think 10 is a good number to
go to
there.
That would have been my number,
I could live with that.
I think 11's too old, probably 12. I guess it depends on the leagues you're involved in, too.
It's not real competitive.
Is it
Coach Pitch?
Is it CYC?
CYC.
So, I mean, I guess.
And it was great, and I'm being facetious about it, but you don't really, we joke about it. Everybody gets a trophy. At that age, it makes their life.
Right. Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, no, it was great. There's nothing wrong with it. But that expression, everybody gets a trophy, there is a point probably where if you're 12, you'd probably say, I was over the season. Coach, do I really get it? Here, let's give out awards. Okay. Kilcoin's kid got least interested. Here you go.
Yeah, but Martin, if you listen to some of these hardcore anti-trophy people, they would tell you that your six-year-old getting a trophy means that he and his peers probably are now destined to fail in life. Because how are they ever going to have a sense of accomplishment? They're just taught that doesn't matter what you do, everyone's rewarded. Life's always fair. Everyone's in first place,
it,
right?
Even getting things that people think they're doing are nice can have an effect on a child. Like, I remember getting a baseball when I played Little League with my stats on it. And I looked at my average and saw everyone else's average on their baseball and was like, I am not good. I mean, it was a nice touch. They were trying to do a nice thing. Hey, here's all your numbers on it. I don't want to remember only hitting like 285 as like a...
Well, batting average doesn't matter. Come on.
What was your OPS, though?
Yeah, I didn't know at that point.
runs created plus, anything?
I wore white shoes and had neon shoelaces. I got to hit better than 285.
Best bunter. Here you go, Gardner.
But God. Is
the
there
sacrificial
a way,
lamb.
Is there a way to acknowledge the participation without a trophy, and is that okay? So if you gave them, as they got older, I don't know, like a certificate or something.
You completed the season.
Yes, you complete. Is that okay? Or is it just the trophy that's bad?
See, I hadn't been around in a while where kids were getting trophies, and I thought, this is what people rail against, but not at this age. I'm like, when do they say, the people that are anti-trophy, and some might say, what do they get a trophy for? For playing on the team? They didn't do any good.
Oh, yeah.
They win any games? At some point, I would agree with that. But not yet. So I don't think you can be against it across the board.
Oh, I think you can. I'm not. But I, like James Harrison for the Steelers, remember he said his kids got some trophies. He threw them in the trash. And so I think that there are people who are absolutists. They do not think any kid should get any trophy unless they've earned it.
Well, then he said, Dad, I'm going to need a new shelf for all my trophies. And I'm like, okay. Let's work on our OPS a little bit before we start talking about trophies around here. I would give the ice cream man a trophy, though, for most distracting person at the event. And what is it? I don't know. If it went by, like you said, if it went by right now.
Oh, I'd be distracted.
We'd probably send Schaefer out there.
Yeah.
He's the big kid, right? You could pass as a young. Well, you could pass as a younger kid.
Yeah. I get that occasionally.
No offense.
No offense, of course.
No offense.
Never offense.
You could. I bet you could pass as young as 9th or 10th.
Okay,
grade.
Here's a story that I don't want to tell on the air, but I will. Potentially here in a few minutes. I was at the gym one time and tried to get the passcode to go upstairs, and the lady asked me how old I was, and later found out that 14 years old, you had to have a parent with you, and I'm like, I'm 22, that's rough. So, I had to ask her at the end, really, what is the age at which you would have questioned me? 14? Good.
You're a youthful 22.
Youthful 22, right.
A chance right now on 590 The Fan to talk to the former Blue, Ryan Reeves, headed to Pittsburgh after the trade over the weekend. And I guess for you, Ryan, you've had a couple of days to get used to that. Does it sound strange to hear former Blue?
It sounds very weird to me that people calling me a Pittsburgh Penguin is still doesn't come off the tongue quite right yet. But I'm definitely getting used to it as the days are going on, and definitely very excited to be part of that organization.
So when they did the protected list for the Vegas draft and you were on it, that got a lot of play around here. And everybody said, boy, that says a lot about where Ryan's game is at. He is protected. He's staying here. Did you think at that point, hey, I'm good. I'm part of this team moving forward?
Yeah. I mean, once I saw I was protected, I thought, maybe I'd be sticking around for a little bit longer. And, I know it was my contract year, so hopefully coming out of the gates and try and have a good season and maybe re-sign. But, obviously the business side came into effect during the draft, and it was something Army thought he needed to do.
How'd you find out, and how stunned were you?
Our Army told me to call him during the draft, and I actually forgot that it was a draft, so I wasn't really thinking much of it. I was playing ping pong with my brother, so I was actually going to finish the last set and then call him. And then Chris Stewart called me and asked me if I was getting traded. So once he asked me that, I gave Army a call back, and he said, yeah, they traded my rights to Pittsburgh.
How did Chris Stewart? He was just following it on social media?
Yeah, he must have seen it on Twitter. But I actually jumped on Twitter very briefly, and the first thing I saw was Reeves for Crosby. So then I said, okay, I don't know what you're reading. And then I saw Reeves for a first round. And I just told him, I think you're reading fake news over there. But then when I talked to Army, yeah, he said it was obviously not for Crosby, but he said it was true.
And so the first round pick coming back, even though you weren't looking to leave, that's kind of a compliment, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's a huge compliment and an honor that Pittsburgh would give up something like that for me. Obviously really excited that they want me that bad.
Ryan, I know that the reputation's obviously out, that you're one of the toughest guys in the league, baddest fighters in the league, and people refuse to fight you, which is kind of funny sometimes during the games. Do you get – is that frustrating for you when you want to go at a guy and he just refuses? And do you ever think, you know what, screw it, we're going to fight anyway?
You know what, I think – I think the way I've changed my game is I don't really expect fights anymore. You know, like you said, they are hard to come by, but you know, sometimes just making sure the other team knows that I'm, you know, I'm asking for a fight and I'm looking for it and I'm looking to stir something up on the ice, or you know, I think you took a cheap shot at one of my players, I'm coming after you. I think just them knowing that, with my reputation now that I've built over the, you know, the last 7 years, I think, you know, that does enough work in itself. I wouldn't say it's frustrating not being able to get fights, because that's just kind of where the NHL is going right now. But at the same time, when it has to happen, I'm always willing.
Do you think there'll be fighting in the NHL 15, 20 years from now, or do you think they're phasing it out of the game?
You know what? I think fighting is going to come back to where it used to be honest. I think they're going to go through this trial stage where you have, you know, you're going to get to the point where there is no fighting and, you know, guys have to wear visors and, you know, you're going to get suspended if you fight. You know, I see that happening in the next 5 years, but then I also see, for the next 5 years after that, a lot of superstars going down, a lot of guys that are the face of the league going down, because there's nobody to answer for when you go and take a cheap shot at one of those players. And I don't think that's good for the league when you're losing superstar players just because you wanted to take out fighting. So I see it getting back to where it was 10 years ago, to be honest.
It seems pretty clear Pittsburgh's interest, too, would be a guy like Sidney Crosby, who we've seen get abused a little bit. What interaction have you had with him since the deal?
I talked to him very briefly. You know, he just welcomed me to the team. Told me it was a great city, great team. I know he didn't have to tell me about the team. Obviously, the name Pittsburgh Penguins speaks for itself. But, yeah, just a quick welcome. And, you know, I think he was just kind of letting everything settle in for me. So I'm sure we'll be talking sometime along the summer here. But it's been very brief with most of the organization so far.
So when you get the news, you're stunned, probably not all that excited about packing up and moving. But then it has to sink in. It's the Penguins. I mean, the two-time Cup champions. If you're going to land somewhere, I don't know if there's a better spot.
Yeah, it was an absolute roller coaster of emotions. It was the first thing that went through my head was, you know, I'm really going to miss the boys on the team. I've made a lot of really good friends on that team, outside of the organization, all over the city of St. Louis. So yeah, that was kind of the first thing that went through my head. And then it was, oh, well, you know, I am going to the Penguins. They just won the Cup 2 years in a row, and that's definitely not the worst place I could go. So, you know, excitement's definitely started to set in a little bit more the last couple of days. I think the day of the draft was weird. The day after the draft was tough. And then, you know, now I'm starting to get excited.
So what's your connection here to the fan base, though? Years from now, you come back, I would think that you're still going to have lots of great memories and feel connected to this franchise forever.
Oh, absolutely. I came up through that whole organization. I went from Alaska to Peoria to St. Louis, and you know, went from a guy that played 4 minutes my first couple years to you know, getting as much as 12 minutes last year. So I've grown as a player. I've grown as a person. I've matured as a person in that city, and I owe a lot to that city. They, you know, St. Louis embraced me as one of their own, and I'll forever be thankful for the city of St. Louis.
What are some of the memories that jump out at you when you think about your run here? What are a couple on there? Of course, when we show the video on the TV side, we always show you blowing the kiss. That we show you scoring a goal, and that one seems to be in people's minds, whether you like that or not. That's why don't you pick a few of your favorites?
You know, I think a lot of my memories are hanging out with the boys off the ice. We've had a very tight group in St. Louis for the last 5-6 years. And I think a lot of my memories come from, you know, road trips, going out for dinners. You know, dinners are one of my favorite things in hockey, just hanging out with the boys on road trips. So, you know, the last couple of years, our playoff runs have been a lot of fun. Even though we got eliminated last year, against San Jose, and even I wasn't playing that much. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to go on runs and just see how this organization has grown since I've been here. You know, we went from not making the playoffs to being President's Cup trophy contenders every year almost. So it's just been fun watching this organization grow.
And would you like to, obviously you're going to want to win a cup in Pittsburgh, but like to see this franchise get over the proverbial hump at some point? I know even Vladimir Tarasenko wrote a big piece, the Players Tribune, and said it kills him that the fans are always kind of waiting and wanting that, and he wants to be part of it when it does happen. Have you ever thought about that moment for this fan base to actually get over the hump and win the cup?
Oh, absolutely. I think St. Louis deserves a cup. I think, you know, the direction they're headed, it's bound to happen. But as long as I'm in Pittsburgh, I hope they make it to the cup finals and lose against us every year.
I was reading the article that Jeremy Rutherford wrote where he quoted you, and you talked about how close you were with Alexander Steen, and you're going over to Europe for his wedding. My question is, that game, the first game of the season, if Steener's in the corner with the puck, and you're bearing down on him, do you light him up the same way you do everybody else? No hesitation.
I'm putting him into the upper deck. No doubt about it in my head.
I have one more question for you, Reaver. I'm on a show later on every day, 3 to 6, with Cam Jansen, and so everyone always asks in his prime, who wins if you guys square off in a fight?
Oh man, you know what? It's I would say I would have to catch him early if I was going to win, because he seems to be one of those guys that just fights for 3 minutes and doesn't get tired. I'm more of a throw wildly and as hard as I can for about 30 seconds and then and get to the box. So it's either me in an early knockout or Jansen with a decision late.
And there's a lot of famous names that have come through here, whether it's Twister or Chaser, and even more recent memory or Reed Lowe. Do all of the, quote, tough guys know each other? Is there a certain bond that you guys have?
You know, I'm very close with Chaser. He's helped me a lot since I've been in St. Louis, actually. You know, we've sat down and talked a few times, and I consider myself a pretty good friend with him off the ice now. You know, Reed Lowe, I've met a couple times, and obviously we've talked a few times. Twister, I've met a few times, but I would say Chaser would be the one tough guy that I've become pretty good friends with.
And does he tell you he could take you? He probably says he could still take you. I mean, that might be after a few beers.
Yeah, Chaser thinks he can take everybody, though, so.
Well, Ryan, thanks for checking in with us. Good luck in Pittsburgh, and it's funny how it all works out. Game one of your Penguins career will be against the St. Louis Blues.
Absolutely.
That's pretty crazy.
Absolutely. And a preseason game, Kraft preseason game, right?
Appreciate the time, Ryan.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Ryan Reaves, number 75, headed to the Pittsburgh Penguins. I'm going to do that now with every guest.
Let me know the numbers, please.
Ryan Reaves on his way to the Penguins, and clearly the Blues shifting the roster. Boy, they maxed value there. Got a first-round pick. You heard Doug Armstrong earlier in the show talking about that. We'll do a quick break here, maybe get into some of those Bill DeWitt comments if you missed it on Friday, talking about Mike Matheny's job security here, also the franchise, where they sit right now in what clearly is a slide from World Series to NLCS to DS. We'll get his take on all of that. 5-9 The Fan partnering with LouFest. Once again, they have 1- and 2-day passes for their exclusive area at the festival in Forest Park this September. It's the Snoop Dogg event. For the same price as general admission, listeners have access to dedicated bathrooms, private cash bar, outdoor lounge, lawn games with prizes, and, of course, mingling with your favorite 590 show hosts. Tickets, first come, first serve. They're on sale right now, so make sure you find them and buy them at InsideSTL.com.
It was a teenage wedding, and the old folks wished them well. You could see that Pierre did truly love the mademoiselle. And now the young monsieur and madame have rung the chapel bell. C'est la vie, say the old folks, it goes to show you never can.